The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
Today's topic is lost and found. Maybe someday in your, once in your life, you heard the song called Amazing Grace. In that song, in the chorus, it goes, "I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." And this is what we'd like to teach you today from the Scriptures. My name is Carl Trimboli, and I found out something from the Scriptures, from studying the Scriptures, and I'd like to share that with you. So if you have a Bible, maybe you'd like to follow along to read the verses as I read them and see what the subject really means today about being lost and being found. What we'll do is we're going to take some physical examples to bring home some spiritual truths. But the physical examples will bring these truths out. The idea of being lost, you might have at one time in your life been driving through town and you were going to the store or going someplace and you've lost your way. What you need to do is stop and ask somebody where you're going or to pick up a road map and find out exactly how to get from point A to point B. Another example might be a young child, and I'm sure you've probably seen this happen. Maybe at the grocery store or at the park or at the zoo somewhere, every once in a while you see a young kid just crying his eyes out, running for his mother. He's lost his mother. His mother was by his side or her side, and they have now been lost. So the child is upset and needs to be found, needs to know his direction. So these things are going to help us understand the spiritual truths of the Bible. I tried to figure out in my mind what was the worst possible condition of being lost. And I thought if I was out in the middle of the ocean on a raft and it was getting dark out and I had no chance at all to see land in any direction, I had no communications, but it was getting dark and it starts to rain and the wind starts to blow and I'm out in the middle of nowhere on this little raft, that's lost. That is the worst possible condition I can think of physically to explain a spiritual loss. When the Bible talks about being lost, it means someone who's doomed or aimed for hell. And that's what we want to help you. Maybe you've never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know what it means to be lost. But today we're going to show from the Bible, from the Scriptures, what it means to be lost and what it means to be found. If your life is stormy, like being out in the raft, or maybe spiritually you don't know where you stand in the Bible, this is where we're going to take some direction from the Lord, and we're going to start out in the book of Luke, chapter 15. If you have your Bible, open to Luke, chapter 15, and this is a time when the Lord was here on earth, and he was in his earthly ministry, and the Pharisees and scribes came to him. Let's read the verses. In verse 1 it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured." It's sad to see, but whenever you see that word Pharisee and scribe in your Bible, it normally talks about someone who's against the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord is going to talk to these people. The rest of that verse says, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." They're pointing the finger at the Lord Jesus Christ, saying he sits with sinners and receives them unto himself. And the Lord now turns to them and he begins to talk to them, and he wants to teach them a lesson. He wants to tell them his purpose and his attitude towards the lost. It begins up saying in verse 3, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost." So here is a man, a shepherd, that has 100 sheep. He found out that there's one missing. He leaves 99 of them in the wilderness, and he goes to find and seek after that lost one sheep. And the Lord is not telling this parable to the Pharisees and scribes just to tell them a story about sheep. He's telling them this story to show his attitude, his heart attitude, about someone that's been lost. The reason I know that is the next verse. He says, "I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." He says, if one sheep gets lost, the shepherd's going to go search for that one sheep until he finds it. He's not going to stop until he finds that one sheep. And here he goes on to say in verse 7, he says, just like that, if one soul turns and repents, there's joy in heaven. He's talking about a person. He's not talking about sheep. But he's given a story to them so they'll understand the illustration. As we continue on in chapter 15, verse 8 says, "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, I have found the piece which I have lost." So she swept the floor, she lit a candle to see where it was, she found the one piece, and she called her friends and neighbors together to say, "Rejoice now, with me I've found the lost piece." So far we've seen one out of 100 pertaining to sheep, and one out of 10. The next story we come across, it's two sons. And this is the story of a son that wanted his inheritance early. So, and what happens is in verse 12, that, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." And the story goes on to say that he, after he spent everything that he had, he realized that after feeding the pigs and really wanting to eat even what the pigs had for dinner, he realized that his dad's servants at home ate better than he did. So he decided in his mind to repent and to go back home with his dad. And it says there, his father speaking now, it says, "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. So the situation here was there was two sons. One was lost. But when he returned, the father rejoiced to see him because he says he was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. There are many people in the world, but no matter how many people have lived on this planet, the Lord still cares for that lost. If you're lost today and you want to know, you want to seek direction, you want to seek the Lord, stay tuned as we go through the rest of these verses. We'll show you how to find the Lord, how to actually be what the Bible calls found or to be saved. The Apostle Paul picks up on this story of being lost, the lost and found, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul is the apostle, he calls himself the apostle to the Gentiles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says this, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, that one verse there, if our gospel be hid, the gospel means good news. If I'm lost and someone comes to me with a roadmap, or if there's a little boy that's lost or a little girl, and they show that little boy or girl how to get to their mother, that's good news for that person. The Bible says, if our gospel, our good news be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And we talked about the loss, about being those who are not going to see heaven unless they change their mind. The Bible goes on to say, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world, as that verse has said, the God of this world is not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God with a small g, and that pertains to Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the Bible calls him. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that what? That believe not. The thing that we see here is you have a choice. If you're not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation today, you've made a choice already. You've made a choice to believe not. And the reason you've done that is you've rejected the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is He died on the cross for our sins, was buried the third day, and rose again according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. The gospel is Christ died for your sins. He died to save you, to bring you to heaven. Now, this verse says, if you keep that in mind, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you've made the choice not to believe the gospel, the Bible says Satan has the opportunity now to blind your minds so that it won't get in. But let's continue on. You're not without hope. Verse 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, here it comes, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For God, who made the commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Let's go back to our illustration for a minute. As we were out on that raft, that's where I would picture myself in the worst condition, out in a raft in the middle of the ocean with a storm brewing and it's dark. And all of a sudden, there comes a big ship alongside the raft, and it just comes floating up, and this light comes down and shines right on me and says, we have a life raft, and we're ready to send it down for you to just go ahead and get in the raft, and we'll bring you up into the boat to be saved from the storm and so that you can get to land and you won't perish in the sea. And those that believe not, the Bible says, those are some that believe not, and they would say, no, thank you. I'll just make it to land my own way. You just go on ahead, and I'll meet you when I get there. And that's a hopeless situation. You know, the ocean's going to swallow you up. There's no way to survive in the middle of the ocean on a raft. And here this big boat comes by. I would gladly say, thank you. I'll take the ride. And that's what believing the gospel is, by the way. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, if it shines into you, onto you, when you hear that Christ died for your sins, you either accept that or reject it. In Psalms it says, thy word is like a lamp, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you know you're lost, if you know that you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, if you were lost in the world, if you were lost in Chicago, and you didn't have any way to know between that big city, it's a winding city, and if you're lost there, you're really lost. You want to know, you want to get a road map. Common sense tells you that if you're lost, you need to find out how to get from point A to point B. That's only common sense. So if you know you're lost in the world out on some street, you want to get a map or to get help. If you know you're lost spiritually, you need to know, you have to find out direction, and that direction comes from the Bible. That's where we're going today, to find out how to seek the Lord, how to find out, how to find your way through the storm. The Bible says, in Romans chapter 3, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible starts out to tell us in Romans chapter 3 that we're all lost at one time. All of us that have ever lived have found our way to that raft in the middle of the ocean. And some of us, myself included, some 10 years ago, I said, yes, Lord, I'll believe that gospel. I'll believe the good news that Jesus Christ died for my sins. But we've all had that opportunity to be lost. But the Lord says in John 14:6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord says, here's that light that shines down from that boat. He says, I'm the way. So if we're to go His way to get to heaven, we know we need to have His word. The Bible goes on to say in the book of Proverbs, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me shall find me early. I read the verse wrong. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So the Lord says, if they're out there seeking after me, seeking the Lord, they shall find me. How He does that, I don't know. But we have other verses that says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Now, why would a verse say, call upon Him while He's near? There's going to be a time where maybe He won't be near. There's going to be a time of tribulation, the Bible says, where there are going to be people taken off of this earth. Tomorrow, there's no guarantee for tomorrow. In our lives, we don't know what's going to happen to us. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Make use of today. If you want to believe on the Lord and you're going to say that, oh, I'll just believe it when I get old and I don't have nothing better to do, I'll just give up my riotous living and then I'll go to believe on the Lord then. That's not what it says. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, it says this, But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He called you, how? The Bible says, by our gospel. Remember what we talked about, the good news? That's how the Lord Jesus Christ calls unto you. He says in the other verse, He's the way. The other verse that we just read says, He called unto you. If we're in that raft, if you're in that raft, and the boat comes alongside, and the Lord shines His light down on you, and then He calls to you, and He says, over here, this is the way. And then He says, I died on the cross for you. That's how He calls us unto salvation. It's up to each individual now to either believe that truth or not believe that truth. And you might say in your mind now, well, that sounds good, and I'll want to seek the Lord. And you say, how do I do that now? Well, in the book of John, chapter 5, this is the Lord speaking. In verse 39, He says, Search the Scriptures, for in them, in the Scriptures, you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. The Lord says, this is what testifies of Myself. This is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I'm to seek the Lord, this is where I'm going to be. The next verse goes on to say, He's talking to the Jews, and probably those who did not want to believe in Him. They weren't seeking the Lord. And what it says in verse 40, and says, And ye will not come to Me that ye might have life. He says, if you're going to seek Me, search the Scriptures. And in verse 40, He says, you won't come to Me. What He told them was they won't go to the Scriptures to find Him. In chapter 1, the whole chapter, it starts out saying, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what He's talking about in chapter 5. Search the Scriptures. If you're going to seek the Lord, you need to start at the Scriptures here to find Him. In the Scriptures, we also hear that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're going to have faith in the Lord, we need to get our faith from this book, from the Bible. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By reading the scriptures, I not only get faith, but by diligently seeking him, the testimony of Jesus Christ, by seeking in the Word of God, it says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to seek the Lord today, you need to get yourself a Bible if you don't have one and start reading. And if you have any questions at the end of this program, there's going to be an address and a phone number that you'll be able to call or write to, and maybe we can help you through a little bit. We'd be more than happy to sit down with God's Word to help show you and instruct you by His Word what this all means, that there is a heaven and that there is a hell. And today is the day of salvation, and if you want to believe in the Lord, today is the day to do it, not tomorrow. To seek the Lord, if you know you're lost, and you're seeking the Lord, you're not saved because that illustration, remember this illustration now. If you're in the raft and the boat comes alongside you, you're not saved just because that boat comes to you. You're not saved until you finally decide to get into that boat. That's where the faith comes, faith in God's Word. The boat can be there all day long, and you're not saved if you're still in the raft. The boat's going to take off and finally make land. But you're just going to be floating around forever and ever, probably. The idea of seeking the Lord, there are some people who formed a religion around seeking. And in the Bible, it's found in Matthew 16, it says, the wicked generation seeketh after a sign. Now, here's people that all through their lives, their religion became more important than the Lord, and their ceremonies became more important than their own Creator. So what did they do? They were supposed to seek after signs. Israel in their day had signs to look for, and they had ceremonies that were supposed to be done. But they lost track of who they were supposed to point to. Those ceremonies and sacrifices all should point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they lost track of that. So what they were seeking now, they were seeking the sign rather than the Lord. They were seeking, it was like if you're out on the boat, on the raft there, and the boat would come along, and you say, hey, there's that ship, there's that boat, I know that's a boat. But you know what, if you never get in the boat and you're only looking for it, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't help you. But spiritually, that means if you have the gospel, the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and never believe it, it's just like staying in that raft and never getting into the boat that's there to save you. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. That's the whole reason for our ministry at Grace Bible Church and my ministry since I've learned there and learned from the scriptures. We preach Christ crucified. We don't preach ceremonies. We don't preach religion. We preach the Bible. We preach about Jesus Christ and what he did for you, each one of you. It says that he gave himself for our sins. The Bible says we are bought with a price, with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that's just very easy to believe in, but though it is, but it's not cheap. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ the blood and suffering and pain that he had to go through to save each one of us. But through that's how he shows his love toward us. The verse says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It goes on to say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There it is. The forgiveness of sins. I don't have to worry about my sins sending me to hell because the Lord died and paid for those sins. I enter into his forgiveness by faith. It doesn't cost anything to get in, like the boat. It doesn't cost anything for a ticket to get into the boat. It says justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we have to watch now. Some people want to work themselves to the shore to be saved from the raft. They want to grab an oar and they want to row themselves in. But the Bible verse says in Romans, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. not rowing yourself to shore, not trying to get to heaven your own way or by good works or ceremonies or religious system, that doesn't count with the Lord. It says to him that worketh not. I need to read you another verse there that goes right along with that. And it's Romans chapter 4. It says, though, if you try to row yourself to shore to save yourself, it's going to count against you in eternity. It says in verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but a debt. It's counted against you. If you never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ in your time here on earth, anything you've tried to do to get yourself to heaven counts against you, and that's going to be a degree of punishment in the pit of hell. And that's what I'm here for today, is to try and talk you out of that pit, to try and make you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because of what his word says, not because of what I say. There are some people that are going to seek the Lord in one day, but it's going to be too late. The verse says in the book of Revelation, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. There's a time coming to this earth that is going to be one horrendous time. The Lord says there's never going to be another time like it. It's called the tribulation, the day of the Lord's wrath poured out upon the earth. And it's just a taste of what's going to be in hell. Men in those days are going to seek death. Won't you make the good choice today to seek the Lord and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ?
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we could be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.